This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
After the holidays, a little cash goes a long way. The Chime checking account has tons of benefits to help, like fee-free overdraft up to $200 for eligible members, no monthly fees, and thousands of fee-free ATMs. You can even get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Sign up for Chime today at chime.com/goals24.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Access to direct deposits up to 2 days early depends on the timing of the submission of the payment file from the payer.
Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Galloping Mooses. No. Gaffer taping my uncle. No. Guinea pigs messy. No. Gossip mongers. Yes. Gossip mongers. Yes. Yes. That's it. Gossip mongers. Welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Get your gossip goggles on. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
Dear Mongers, I'm from Brighton and this story goes back a few years. One of my mates had an indoor swimming pool which we used to have countless pool parties at through the year as it was constantly heated. One time in November we had a party but the pool was out of action due to it being cleaned. The night carried on and we all got very drunk and eventually crashed out. At this point one of our mates, we should call him Pete, was still up and drinking Jack Daniels straight from the bottle. Decided he wanted to go for a swim. Looking at the pool, Pete saw there was still water in it and couldn't work out why, though as he thought it was being cleaned, hence why couldn't we go in it. So he thought, fuck it, I'm going in. He got in his birthday suit and had a swim in the 22 degree water. While floating around naked and swigging on his JD, Pete remembered there was a jet that would pump out the warm circulated water that was lovely to sit next to. So he doggy paddled over with a bottle in his hand and leaned up against the side of the pool with his groin towards the jet. Unbeknownst to Pete, when the pool is being cleaned, there's a phase when the jet sucks instead of blows to help clean the filters. It was at this point he knew he'd fucked up. Like a marble would shoot up a vacuum hose, or when you suck a grape from your lips into your mouth, his left testy
got sucked. Oh my God. It's genuine, that was.
Oh, and got sucked up and disappeared into the now shoot.
This is the worst one ever.
Fucking hell.
Unfortunately.
Oh, soft egg up a hole. Oh, fucking hell. Oh, my God. I genuinely can't listen to this. That is so tender.
Soft egg. Soft egg.
Fuck. I genuinely can't listen to this. I don't think this is my phlegm. Fucking hell. I'm getting weird.
You get weird sensations.
Really struggling, because I can't see how he's going to get out of it. It's not like there's a button to press.
I've never seen you this panicking.
No, it's horrible. Oh, I just know how much it can hurt.
Right, are you ready? Unfortunately for Pete, when he came into the pool area, he shut the doors behind him, which turned into a soundproof room.
Oh, God.
And no one could hear his screams and cries.
Fuck, no! Fuck this. Who's getting anything out of this?
Me.
Does this not bother you?
No.
Fuck, that's mad.
I've got rock-hard testes.
Oh, God.
5 hours later, we started to wake and couldn't work out where Peter was. When we finally checked the pool area, we found him floating asleep on his back with his arms flayed out.
Completely overwhelmed.
His testicles still stuck in the jet.
Oh, fucking...
What a roller coaster.
This is mad.
After laughing for a few minutes, we turned the pumps off and managed to very carefully pop what was now a very long and wrinkled testy out.
Oh, I can't believe this.
I've never seen someone so wrinkled in my life. Imagine what happens to you when your fingers get wet, but from the waist down.
Oh,
half prune. It took a few weeks for Peter's bollock to not look like a cue ball at the bottom of a sports socks, but he's all good now.
I want to know if he was in pain. I don't care what it looked like. Fuck.
Fucking
surely
hell.
That hurt.
It'll hurt. Oh, God.
Soft egg upper hole. Soft egg upper hole. Soft egg upper hole. A hole, a hole, a hole, a hole. A hole. Soft egg. Soft egg. Gossip number 2.
This is from Peter. When I was 18, I started working in a busy town centre bar. During the day, it was frequented by a loyal group of older drinkers, most of whom had worked in the local steelworks that had closed down some years previous. They would while away the day betting horses, winding each other up about trivial shit, and generally marking time until death, which has now visited most of them. One of the old guys was Jerry. Even though he was then in his 70s, he was still clearly well-built, tall, with broad shoulders, and was always turned out impeccably. All of the older guys seemed to simultaneously be fearful and respectful of him. It turned out that he'd been a bit of a tough nut in his day, working as a bouncer and a debt collector, among other things. One patron told me in hushed tones how he'd once seen Jerry hit a man who owed him money over the head with a child's bicycle. Despite all this, I found him a bit of a dimwit in conversation. My respect fear for him grew, however, when someone told me a story that showed he was both quick of thought and utterly ruthless. One day, Jerry was walking to the pub along a road. There's a park on one side and a golf course on the other. As he made his way along, a small dog darted out in front of him from the direction of the park and ran straight out into the road, where it was unceremoniously butchered by a passing car. The driver immediately stopped and was visibly distraught when he realised what he'd done. Where you and I might have been moved to comfort the man, it was clearly a traumatic time. Jerry saw an opportunity.
Waste not, want not.
Very quickly, he shouted to the shaken man, "What have you done to my daughter's dog?" She only got it the other day. She's going to kill me. The driver apologised profusely, saying he'd do anything he could to compensate Jerry and his family for their loss. Jerry, feigning upset, told the man that 50 quid might soften the bad news. When he'd have to break it to his heartbroken daughter. The driver agreed and handed over the dosh. He offered Jerry a lift home with the dead pooch's carcass, but Jerry declined, saying he didn't live too far away. The driver apologised once more and left the scene. As soon as he was out of sight, Jerry scooped up the dog's body and threw it over the fence. What a... carried on his way.
Fucking hell. Not sure I should be laughing.
50 quid.
Fucking hell. Gotta have a certain mind to think like that straight away. Haven't you, though? You see someone hit a dog and you think, I'm gonna make 50 quid here. I don't think like that.
Dear, yeah, but you're not feared. He
no,
is.
I'm not. I'm fearful.
Wow, there's Jerry. What a man.
Jerry. Stupid. Bloody. Dimwit. Twat. Jerry. Stupid. Bloody. Dimwit. Twat. That's Jerry. Gossip number 3.
This is from... don't know. Let's say. I was visiting my girlfriend who lived with her parents. Parents were at work, so like typical couple of horny teenage lesbians, we decided to look around the house for instruments to fuck each other with.
Whoa, 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 what's this? What? Is this two girls?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
No, it's not, I just wanted to get...
No, you're just blowing your mind, isn't it? Okay, do I have to explain...
No, I just...
Sexuality. Okay. Like... A couple of horny teenage lesbians, we decided to look round the house for instruments to fuck each other with.
Fucking hell. Still hasn't helped. The second time. Still blow my mind.
For the listeners at home, David has walked off. It's fair to say we did not think this next part through. In the kitchen, we found a cucumber. It was quite girthy, but like an absolute trooper, my girlfriend took it.
Dear.
I love the fact we're not coping with this.
No, we're not. Pathetic. Like we're 12. Really giggling.
Can't cope.
Oh, okay. God. Go on.
I'll say the line that you didn't cope with again. Yeah. But like an absolute trooper, my girlfriend took it.
This has been written by a bloke.
That's what I was thinking.
It's definitely been written by a bloke.
Did you send it in?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Afterwards, in a sweaty haze, I took said cucumber downstairs. Her parents were due back any second. I gave the cucumber a good rinse under the tap and popped it back in the fridge.
Why would she put it back in the fridge?
It's not hers. Yeah. Her parents arrived back. They were sort of family that all ate meals together at the dining table. When I visited, I would help them prep and eat with them. My girlfriend and I came downstairs to see all the ingredients for a nice side salad on the table ready to be prepped. I sat there making polite small talk with my girlfriend's parents whilst prepping perfect cucumber crudités with a cucumber that not so long ago had been up my girlfriend's gash. This is a fella writing this.
Surely.
No, surely Gash isn't how you describe your loved ones. Anyway, the looks of horrors we exchanged, neither of us being able to think of any possible way to get rid of the cucumber that wouldn't raise eyebrows. I couldn't throw it away. Her parents would have asked what happened, where was the cucumber that had been in the fridge that morning. Given more time, I may have gone to the shop and purchased another one, but our sessions meant we'd lost track of time. Sessions. Sessions. Our banging sessions. So we sat and we ate and we watched her parents consume the vagina cucumber.
Fucking hell.
I did give it a wash, but still, they shall never know.
Well,
that's from Peter, 46, from Cumbershire.
Yeah, truck driver from Derbyshire.
Truck driver from Hull. I'm typing this on the A42 in a lay-by.
I'm bored.
Oh, and it's midnight. And I haven't seen my wife and family in weeks.
Oh, dear.
Written by a lesbian. I don't think so. Written by a lesbian. I don't think so. Written by a lesbian. I think we made it quite clear it was written by a big fat truck driver, probably on his way to Middlesbrough. Written by a lesbian. I don't think so. Gossip number 4.
Oh my god, this is... Well, this is really big.
Oh dear.
This is huge.
Big as in great news.
What I will do is send this to you. So I looked at it and went, oh, fucking hell. Went down to the bottom and saw this.
Wowzers.
So, as you can... Yeah, you can imagine I fancy reading it.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what I'm looking at.
No, but... I don't. Right, this is from Dave. Okay. Hi, Gossip Mongers. I'd just like to say, firstly, that my friends and I are big fans of the show, so please keep up the great work. Thank you.
We won't.
A few years ago, as young lads finding our way on the nightlife scene, we were a pretty close group of friends who generally kept to ourselves when our nights out. I just keep thinking of that drawing. Don't know where this is going. For the listeners at home, there's an attachment on this email of a like a sketch life drawing of a bloke's face with tits.
And it's blown our mind a little bit.
Yeah.
And David's a little giddy to read the story.
So it's a life drawing, but it's a man's face with boobs.
I think it's... Is it a drawing from Titanic of Kate Winslet?
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Anyway. We'll edit that out if it ruins the story for them at home. Or on the bus, wherever they're listening to it.
Okay. A few years ago, as young lads finding our way on the nightlife scene, we were a pretty close group of friends who generally kept to ourselves when on nights out. A few of us already had girlfriends, and as such, the group didn't often get much in the way of female attention, which I could imagine was of much disappointment to the single members of the troupe. One of those single fellows in particular was my friend Joe, an already shy and generally unassuming kind of guy. But he had an overall reputation in the group for being amongst the best looking of us, often getting compliments for his dark guy liner eyes and wavy black hair. However, his overly shy and quiet demeanour when talking to ladies showing any interest would ultimately lead to his downfall in any attempt to seal the deal with them. As a result, finding himself still a virgin despite being a man in his early 20s was a subject of much dissatisfaction for him. Except on this one occasion, when the big night finally came. One night, after drinks had flowed and dance moves had been poorly displayed, a not unattractive Eastern European, Bulgarian to be specific, girl of similar age to ourselves approached the group of us as we took refreshments on the outskirts of the dance floor. It soon became apparent she was making a purposeful beeline for Joe. Upon grabbing his attention, she, surprisingly forcefully, as she was rather petite, yanked him back out to the dance floor and proceeded to dance extremely provocatively against him for quite some time. It was certainly clear she was giving him the full works. Bump and grind, slut drops, the lot. During this time, Joe was looking distinctly awkward, but overall not unhappy with the proceedings. After a while, when she was finally done with Joe, she turned back and waved a rat's condom in front of his face and then exclaimed, "Here you go, that's for you. I'll be waiting outside." She then smiled coyly at him and disappeared. Moments later, Joe returned back to us, looking a little bemused, but also strangely smug at the same time. He asked my friend Alex what he thought she meant and what he should do, to which Alex replied, "Fucking get out there after her right now, Joe, or I bloody will." So at this command, off Joe went, and the rest of us waved him off with gusto, then proceeded about our business for the remainder of the night. Fast forward a few days, when we're all together again at the pub and a couple of pints down, one of us was suddenly reminded of Joe's romantic liaison. We asked him how it went, as none of us had really spoken to him since the weekend. He smiled at us very surreptitiously, so suffice to say his encounter was clearly a success. He took a sip of his drink, then said, "But it was a little weird, though." Joe told us that moments after the pair had done the deed and they had exchanged their sweet nothings and pillow talk between them, as Joe lay naked, the girl then got up and pulled out a large sketchbook with pencils from the drawers beside and proceeded to draw. She didn't ask. Joe, being the kind of shy guy that he is, said nothing to question this and instead politely and very Britishly went along with this and posed. Eyebrows raised, jaws dropped and laughter ensued at how casually he dropped this bombshell into his story. And immediately thoughts of Joe lying naked on a chaise longue with the heart of the ocean hanging round his neck, being drawn like Kate Winslet from Titanic, sprang to mind. But we still enjoy telling this story to others and those amongst us, and, as any good friends should, we've never allowed ourselves to forget to repeatedly remind him of this occasion. Joe, nor any of us, ever heard anything from the mysterious Bulgarian lady. And sadly, we've never seen the drawing, despite years of wishing it to materialise. It is also my understanding that Joe lacked possession of any physical copy, which is also incredibly disappointing. Therefore, as a little treat for you at Gossipmongers, I've attached a Photoshop imagining created by a dear friend of mine to show how he envisaged the long-lost piece of art. I do hope you enjoy it as much as we have. If we were so fortunate for you to read out Joe's story on the show, I appreciate that the attached file will be of no extra benefit to the lovely listeners of the podcast. So they will just have to imagine what the drawing would have looked like, as we have had to for so many years. Thanks, Dave. P.S. As much as we'd love this picture to be shared amongst the deserving public, in the interest of protecting Joe's identity, could you please refrain from posting this image on any social media channels?
Nope, we're going to do it. Literally going to do it now. I literally am.
Are you?
Yeah.
No.
I'm going to.
No, they don't want you to.
Yeah, well, it's their fault, isn't it?
You're not, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm going to. Shall I?
No, I wouldn't.
I'm going to do it for 10 seconds.
Okay.
I'm going to do it now.
Okay, right, hold on. Do it for 10 seconds. 10 all right, seconds. I'm going on. Are you putting it on Twitter?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to keep refreshing it.
Hold on.
Yeah, for 10 seconds and delete.
Yeah. Okay. Right, okay, I've put it into the box thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Right, tweet. Wow, so 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Here we go.
2, 1. It's coming off.
Oh, did you put it up?
Yeah, it's up.
Well, oh, shit.
Have a look.
Oh, I missed it.
No, no, I haven't deleted it yet. You can have a look.
Is it up?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right, now I'm going to take a screen grab.
I'm just gonna, oh, there it is. Right, get rid of it. It's been up for 23 seconds, apparently.
Yeah, I've taken... I'm deleting it. I've taken a screen grab.
Dear. He is hunky.
He is hunky, isn't he?
Isn't he?
Yeah.
He's super, super hunky. He's super, super hunky. If you would like to support the podcast and get a chance to listen to the episodes early, watch videos, that kind of thing, come over to patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. That's patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. Gossip number 5. Oh, apologies about the noise in the background of this one. For a bit. That was Joe's washing machine.
This is from Chris. Hello, Mungers. I hope you're well. A man called Michael Hunt, everyone called Mike. Is that because of Mike Hunt?
Yeah.
He joined a large bank in London back in the late 90s. Human resources discovered someone in the US had already taken the email address michael.hunt@blank.com. So rather than the standard practice of using a middle name or add a 2 in the email address, they come up with michaelukhunt@blank.com.
It's just making me laugh how small this is.
I'm in the opinion that they knew exactly what they were doing.
Michael U. Cunt. Oh, the penny's dropped. Both of us looking like thickos just staring at it. Michael, you cunt. What's the full email?
Oh, he's left it out. Let's do HSBC. Michael, you come at hsbc.com. If you hadn't said that, I don't think I'd ever have got that.
No, I'm quite chuffed that I did. Is that it?
Yeah, what more do you want?
Yeah, getting greedy, am I?
Okay, and now for the real gossip. Oh, well done.
Okay.
Michael, you cunt. You cunt. You cunt. You cunt. You're a cunt. Apparently. Michael, you cunt. You cunt. You cunt. You cunt. You're a cunt. Apparently. Gossip number 6.
Wow. Dear Sloppy Joe and Davecation.
Nice. Don't read the rest.
This piece of gossip was formed back in 2009 at my secondary school in Surrey. I experienced firsthand the source from which these rumours sprung, which has singed an unforgettable image in my brain. Till this day, I'm still not sure what I remember I saw, I actually did see. Fourth period had just finished and I decided to nip to the toilets before joining the queue for lunch. Mistake number one. Upon entering the toilets, I was hit with the warm stench of fecal matter. A group of girls were crowded round the sinks, plastering another layer of foundation onto their skin, and upon noticing me, one of them turned round and proudly exclaimed, "I done a shit. Go take a look." Curiosity got the better of me, so I gingerly shuffled towards the offending cubicle door and nudged it back. Mistake number two. No pun intended. What bestowed my eyes can only be described as a Jackson Pollock-esque dirty protest. It was as if someone or something had pebble-dashed the cubicle walls with their own insides, scatter-dawned the TP holder, bin, entire porcelain unit and all four walls. Yes, all four. The back of the door was cast with several slops of the stuff as well. The stall was so impressive, people called upon their friends to witness the offence, and momentarily the toilets became like a modern art exhibition. The syrupy shitstorm churned up all manner of rumours. One in particular alluded to an Asian student whose exotic and greasy diet of Chinese food was to be blamed for the shit-stained walls.
Ah, but a xenophobia.
Another popular report was that an overweight pupil trying to lose some mass did so by gobbling one too many laxatives and graffitied their guts onto the surrounding surfaces. One of the less sinister rumours suggested someone had engaged in some aggressive anal and explosive diarrhoea was the fallout. My personal favourite being that someone in the school had been probed by an alien which had given them some otherworldly side effects. There was also a separate rumour that got mashed up with the poop stories. This was about a teacher called Mr. Treadwind.
Treadwind? Fuck off.
Mr. Treadwind.
Who
allegedly had a stash of dog biscuits in his desk drawer, which he used to snack on in between lessons. The toilets were then closed for several weeks while a team of professional biohazard cleaners came to disinfect the walls. Whatever the cause of the eye-watering poop, I hope the perpetrator is doing well.
So, why was Mr. Treadwind's little side anecdote stuck in?
No idea.
Like 9/10 of the way through the rumour. Little side note about Mr. Treadwind,
and then back to the rumour. Mr. Treadwind.
What a weird thing to do. Like, all good stories have a massive...
Yeah, there was also a separate rumour that got mashed up with the poop stories. This was about teacher Mr. Treadwind, who allegedly had a stash of dog biscuits in his desk drawer and used to snack on them in between lessons. The toilets were then closed for... Fucking hell.
What a weird point to do that. Get to the end and then go, "Oh, there's also a teacher who had dog biscuits." And do it 9/10 of the way through.
Oh, well.
But Billy Connolly does that. But skillfully. It's such a weird thing to do.
Yeah. I wonder if she was basically saying, "Oh, if anyone's listening, it's me. Do you remember Mr. Treadwind?" Well, that's fine, actually. Just do a PS.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop. PS, it's me. Do you remember Mr. Treadwind?
Yeah, did he have dog biscuits? Yeah. Go back to the story.
Why did you tell us about Mr. Treadwind? What's he got to do with anything? What's Mr. Treadwind got to do with the price of bread? Why bother telling us about Mr. fucking Treadwind? What's he got to do with anything? Gossip number 7.
This is from John. Dear Joe and David, I want to clear up a rumour that apparently circulated about me among my old primary school friends. I promise it's utter shit. Let's be honest, if it was true, the last thing I'd do would be to email you. At about the age of 10 or 11, I was in school one day, minding my own business, when I went to my tray to put some work away. In my tray, I found a Tampax box. I didn't have much experience with what they were at the time, so I thought very little of it, assuming it had fallen down from the tray above mine. I ignored it. By the next day, it had gone, and I never thought about it again. A few months later, we moved house and I changed school. Then when I was about 16, affordable internet and MSN Messenger had become commonplace, so I decided to look up some of my old classmates to maybe rekindle a friendship or two. I was successful at first, but then I got talking to a girl I used to know. I said, "Hi, I'm John. I don't know if you remember me, but we used to go to primary school together." She replied with, "Oh yes, I remember you. Aren't you the boy who used to use a tampon box for a pencil case?"
I'll be honest with you, mate. I thought that was going to be a lot worse. If you're worried about that, I worry you're on the wrong podcast.
Obviously, now, I knew what they were for, and I did remember finding that box in my tray, despite it being so insignificant at the time. I immediately made it very clear that I definitely did not use it as my pencil case, promptly ended the conversation, and never spoke to anyone from that school again. If anyone happens to remember me from this anecdote, please, please, please believe it was entirely untrue. All the best, John.
Highly strung John.
Dear. He said it was a Tampax box. Is it? What's the difference? Tampax are make. Tampon is the...
This is embarrassing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joe Wilkinson and David Earle will now choose their favourite rumour.
Okay, the top five for this episode is... Number one, the Bulgarian lover and the sketch drawing. Number two, Jerry, the man who pretended the dead dog was his.
Really long titles this week.
Number three, bollock trapped in the swimming pool filter. Number four, the two lesbians and the vagina cucumber. And number five, michaelyoucunt.com. That's it. There's your top five.
Oh, my God. Can you do it again? Sorry. Yeah. I sort of didn't
it's probably
listen.
Not a standout, but
they're all
pretty
listen,
strong.
I didn't listen, if I'm honest.
Okay, fair enough. I'll do it again. Number one, the Bulgarian lover and the sketch drawing. Number two, Jerry, the man who pretended the dead dog was his. Number three, bollock trapped in the swimming pool filter. Number four, the two lesbians and the vagina cucumber. And number five, michaelyoucunt.com.
Might not be our best ever episode, but title-wise...
Yeah, it goes on a bit.
Yeah, people aren't listening now anyway. They don't care about the winner.
No.
Okay, I've got an answer.
Hang on, I've got to think about it, actually.
You've had loads of time to do it.
Yeah. The best gossip.
Just to let you know, I've moved to the bottom of the house to get away from the washing machine, and it seems to be louder down here.
It's not on here. It's really... Okay. This is the washing machine episode. There's fucking loads of it. Oh, God. For the best bit of gossip...
It's hard. I've just gone from...
Yeah, gut. I know what one I'm going to go for. Yeah. Okay.
After three.
One, two, three.
Jerry said it was his dog.
In the swimming pool.
What happens now?
Don't know. See ya.
See ya. No... I'll just go with you. I'm happy to. I'm rubbish at arguing. I can't be bothered.
Remember,
to
this is this is going into the knockout stage. So we've got to think about it.
Oh yeah, actually, okay. The guy who did the dog thing is already obviously horrible. So We don't want, you know, don't really want to give him any publicity. Don't need to.
Okay.
But the ball in the vet, the filter's horrible. It's really horrible. Mm. I don't know if you'll want to listen to that again because you've got quite a shit, but let's go with Jerry the dog.
Okay. Diet. I think Jerry he was going to be my second one. Jerry the man.
Who lied about his dog, yeah.
Okay. Well played. You're into the next stage.
Yeah, sort of. I'd call that the sort of damp squib way in. Because yeah. We're just. It's like we're like, yeah, put him in.
Yeah, but okay.
But it probably means the world to the two people who it's their gossip. And we just went, oh. Yeah. So, filter right. Person's probably a bit fucked off.
Well, I'm rolling up Jerry the Man who pretended the dead dog was his, and I'm putting it into the tube, and wow, look at it go.
Blimey.
Long old tube.
It is, isn't it?
And then out it pops at the end, and onto the knockout stage. Oh, brilliant.
Early rounds, just getting through the early rounds, aren't we?
Yeah. yeah, well, there you go. That's
that felt like
that.
That felt like a Europa League game, that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah. I'm really hungry. Okay.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Always am.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Bye, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, if you know of any unsubstantiated rumors, send it into gossipmongers@yahoo.com. Until the next time, keep your little ears open for all that juicy goss. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Love you lots and lots. Bye for now.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.